Loving and gracious God, you have given us two great commandments. Help us to take them into ourselves, that they might reflect your love in our lives and your love for other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Oh, goodness, those nasty Pharisees, once again, are giving Jesus a hard time. And in the gospel reading this morning, we hear Jesus quote Moses' statement about the first commandment from Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Jesus' second commandment for us is found actually in Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two scripture passages together really provide a summary of Jesus' mission and ministry during his life on earth. In quoting the Shema, Jesus points out that the aim of the law is to orient one's whole life toward God, not just parts of it, our whole life, our whole being. However, one cannot love God without loving what God loves. So when one cannot love God and oppress or exclude any of God's creatures, even our enemies. And this is really, really difficult, especially in the light of the actions of last week when our country was faced with acts of terrorism, which is quite unknown to us. What impressed me most was the nonpartisan reaction by the leaders of this country. And I just want to highlight just a snippet from each of them. Stephen Harper said, "While today has been without question a difficult day, I have every confidence that Canadians will be together with the kind of firm solidarity that has seen our country through many challenges." And Tom Mulcair, "It was intended to make us more fearful of our neighbors and less confident in ourselves. But it has failed. Today's events have instead only succeeded in drawing us closer, in making us stronger. These acts were driven by hatred, but also designed to make us hate. They will not. We will stand up, we will stand together, we will persevere, and we will prevail." And finally, from Justin Trudeau, "In the days that follow, there will be questions, anger, and perhaps confusion. This is natural, but we cannot let this get the better of us. Losing ourselves to fear and speculation is the intention of those who commit these heinous acts. They mean to shake us. We will remain resolved. They want us to forget ourselves. Instead, we will remember. We will remember who we are." Knowingly or perhaps unknowingly, these three men all referred to our lesson today, the Shema, Israel, and loving one's neighbor as ourselves. In these words, Jesus is asserting that love is a test of one's true understanding. The law is not for the law's sake, but for God's sake and for us. When a man challenged Rabbi Hillel to teach him the whole Torah while standing on one foot, kind of a bizarre request, but this is true, the Babylonian Talmud reports Hillel's response as follows, quote, that which is despicable to you, do not do to your fellow. This is the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. End of quote. What is it like to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? The Greeks had five different words for love, and they all make up components of who we are. One of, and these are the Greek words, mania, which is an obsessive love. It's wanting to own the other. It's probably not the love where we want to put our most energy. Philia is the friendship love, the brotherly love. I think of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Agape is love in its purest form, for it requires no payment or favor in response. It is love freely given. Storge is a love that one has for a dependent, so the motherly or fatherly love. And the last type of love is eros, which is neurotic and emotional love. And I find it interesting to read that the mystics in the Middle Ages, this was a very important component of their relationship with God. St. John of the Cross, known for his Dark Night of the Soul, in his book, On a Dark Night, he begins with the poet kindled in love and yearning for God, and moves on to images of caress and being in an entwined repose with God. We tend not to think of God in those types of images. There was an Ignatian author who writes that he hoped to be seized so completely by the love of God that all desires of his heart and all the actions, affections, thoughts, and decisions which flow from him would be directed to God. What about self-love? Don't really have a word for that from the Greek. I'm sure there is, but I don't have it. There's a lot of misinterpretation around self-love, mostly around self-denial. In Sunday school, I was taught to put God first, others second, and yourself last. And as I grow, I think that this is really faulty thinking, and it can lead to a lot of problems for people. The idea of letting oneself become a doormat comes to mind, because everyone is better than us. Some people really struggle with loving themselves. If God is love, isn't it possible for us to love ourselves? And if this is problematic, isn't God just the one to help transform us into self-love? I wonder if we can truly love others until we love ourselves, until we are so filled with love that it spontaneously pours forth from us. In Scripture, love of oneself is neither praised nor condemned, but merely taken for granted. So how do we imagine loving our unseen God? I'm going to pose a series of questions. I'm going to leave a little bit of time, so if someone has something that they just want to say, I really invite you to say that. How do we imagine loving the unseen God? How does this passage prompt us to respond to God's love? What does it really mean to love your neighbor as yourself? What does this mean?
That's one that has troubled me for a long time, to love my neighbor as myself. What do I do on the days when I don't love myself very much? You know, that's sort of always the conundrum for me around that one. It seems to presuppose what you were saying earlier, that I'm full of love and that I can, you know, share that with my neighbor. I'm not sure, I wouldn't speak for anyone else here, but there certainly are days when it's difficult for me to love myself. So then what do I do? That's my question.
I can't tell you what to do,
but I can
tell you what helps me. Often, when I have a response to someone that is very negative or judgmental, I take it to prayer and I say, I ask God, what is it about this person that is triggering this within me? What is in me that needs to grow? And then I pray for love. My goodness, after the events of last week, to love that man who shot the soldier, that's really hard. We hate it. But he was also a child of God, and we're called to love him. So for me, I have to go to prayer. I have to sometimes just sit and be with God. Say, God, I don't feel your love. Please shower me with your love. Surround me with your love. And actually, because I'm a kinetic type person, I was taught this exercise. You can all try it with me. Put your arms here. Yes. And just tap very gently. Like you would a baby on the back. Just feel that. And imagine that that is God loving and soothing you. This is a really, I use this a lot. It's quite lovely. Why, at the end of this reading, do people no longer ask Jesus any questions? The Sadducees have tried it, the Pharisees have tried it. But it says, after this, no one asked him any questions. He was a pretty wise fellow. And every time they tried to trip him up, his wisdom and his love of God trumped whatever they were saying. What does this passage say about generosity? In a few moments, John Moonan, who's part of the stewardship committee, is going to talk about gratitude and generosity and opportunities to be generous. This man, Jesus, who touts two love commands, to love God and to love our neighbor, is no mere rabbi. He is not even a mere son of Moses or a mere son of David. This is the Messiah, God's son. Jesus is the Messiah who loves his enemies, who loves as God loves, and who is God with us. May our hearts always be drawn to the heavenly voice that boomed, "This is my son. Listen to him." Amen.